The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Punctual. If you know you were in this hall by 8 o'clock, you've come here by 8 o'clock. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hand. You've come here by 8 o'clock. Now take down your hand. Why? The rest that came by after 8 to 9, some even after 9 to 10, something's embarrassing. Even angels are scared. We fix meeting by 8. You come in by to 10. That's what I said, Jamaica, you see, okay, are you looking at this thing? So things are very terrible. And you see, you just walk in majestically like there's no problem. You see, and there are consequences for late coming. You know, somebody once said that the reason Sapphira died was because she came late. I've heard it before. But there's another of truth in it. You see, if she had come on time, she would have seen when Ananias died. And she would say, sir, let me say the truth. You know, we're laughing with this now, but you must build work. Let me tell you, punctuality or lateness is a sign of dishonor. Hope you know. It's a mark of dishonor. How is it dishonor? Let me remove God or anything. It's just a mark of dishonor. How many of you know? Let me even teach you this one before you go. How many of you know that if you're going to see a man, any person that is bigger than you, you must be there on time? I hope you know. If you have a meeting with someone bigger than you, in an eatery, don't let him wait. Amen. Another will teach our guys, if you're going to take a lady out, don't keep a lady waiting. Yeah, it shows you respect and you honor her. And you value her. You get it? You guys are going to go to an eatery, be there ahead of her. Amen. What did I say? Be there ahead of time. And when she comes in, what do? Stand up. I'm telling you the truth, though. I've left what I'm saying now. Just a mess. When she comes in, you stand up. And when she wants to sit down, you help her bring out the seat. You see how we see people. Now, you see how we see people. And yes, you come in late to church every day. And we should not keep you waiting. We should not. What's wrong with you people? Now, all I'm trying to say is, lateness for me is a sign of dishonor. I get the point. It's a sign of dishonor. Even ordinary interview, if you are late, they pursue you. But then church, that's why, you know, people that work are saying, you know now. You know how we did. You see, you must be in church on time. Determine your heart. You get the point? Determine. Hate lateness with passion. Remember I said correction should produce hatred for that sin. Hate it with passion. Anything you are going for, go for it on time. Be seated ahead of time. What will happen if you listen to the opening prayer? Have you ever been in church the day they said, praise the Lord, let us start? When last did you experience, praise the Lord, let us start? No. When last did you experience, let us start? You only come in when they already pray, you know, they already sing it. Just come and join us. Some people have never heard, praise the Lord, let us stand. And they've never heard, I'm standing. They've not heard any of them. They come in when service has started. They leave before it ends. Be punctual. Hallelujah. Now let me touch like three more things. Then we'll just take your questions and we'll pray. Then, I won't touch your dress code to church. I'm not going to say much. You already know what I'm saying. Dress well. Amen. And our principle, our foundation for dressing in this church is not Deuteronomy 22 verse 5. It's not man shall not wear that which pertaineth to a woman, neither shall a woman wear that. But it doesn't mean we also expect you to wear that which pertaineth. We are saying wear trousers. Make sure you wear trousers that pertaineth to ladies. Don't come and wear our trousers and come to church. It will not be well with you. Philippians 4 verse 5, please.
Philippians 4 verse 5.
Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. This is what we are looking at. Moderation. That's the key word in our dressing in this church. Moderation. What that means is that we're not against wearing jean trousers. But what that means is that there's a kind of jean trousers you should not wear and come to our church. Outsiders can, you know what I'm saying is because we guys are leaders. I'm not saying somebody wears it and come and I say, this one or no. Anybody can wear it and come. But then you as a leader, you must model this. There's something you cannot wear and enter this place. I will tell you. This I've not been telling you before because I've not told you this thing. And you don't have any right to correct any person you've not taught. You see, I've been teaching you since now. You cannot wait. I will tell you. Okay, I'm going to give a card. What is this? Let your moderation. When I say you can make up. Make up is not a sin. You now plaster your face. Somebody say you'll be looking surprised. Hallelujah. Have sense. I know what I'm saying. Have sense. Let your moderation be known to all men. All men. Hallelujah. Amen. We say you can wear skirts and come to church. And you now wear some skirts that we don't know where to keep our eyes. I'm telling you. We don't know where to keep our eyes. We are looking everywhere. Because we don't want to focus. We're just looking everywhere at the same time. I've seen things, so, and you're not drawing it down. Leave it alone. You cannot play film and say, oh, you know, leave it alone. And then you wear stuff. Let me say it. I want to talk to ladies. I don't say this all the time. But then, don't wear, there are things that your husband should see alone. All your laughs, your cleavage. What are you showing? What are you advertising? What are you advertising? And you think you're going to marry you in church because of all those things? Those things, what are you showing? What are you showing? Yeah, I won't even advise you to wear those things and go. I'm not talking of wearing them to church. I get the point. Be wise. Let your moderation be known to all men. We now say you can wear trousers and you now wear low waist. You looking at me? And you now sit down and I draw it. Say, okay, leave that in alone. Let's watch. Let's feed our eyes. Am I saying this is to take you to hell? No. I'm only saying in church, there's a way not to dress. There is a way to dress too. Are you still here? You're not to dress too. Even guys. Let me even leave indecency. Even how to dress to meetings. I've told our leaders here. There are things you cannot wear to our church meetings. Not because they are sinful, but because you're a leader. I don't get the point. You're a leader. You cannot come to our church wearing palm as a leader. Don't wear it to come. You are dishonoring our meeting. Even wedding, there's something you wear to wedding. They say, oh, God, you'll be looking odd. Hallelujah. Let me tell you guys a story. When we started PG here, when we started that Saturday, not at FSP. That police barracks. Now, that hall was interesting. And we were small. We were about 6 or 7. Now, the hall was terrible. The environment was terrible. And I knew there was a tendency for people to dishonor the meetings. And if they begin to dishonor the meetings, they will not be blessed in the meetings. So one of the things I started doing, if you don't remember those days, normally, and they were Saturday meetings that we were holding in the evening. So normally they would have them like evening service or come with. So what I did was I decided that I'll be wearing shoe to all the meetings. In my heart. If you remember, I'll wear shoe, I'll talk in. These are normal meetings. I'll come. Sometimes it's just 4 or 5 persons that are there. But I didn't want anybody to take those meetings for granted. And that's what some of us do at our church meetings. Because you feel we are just few, we're just starting, you can just walk into services coming, you wear normal slippers, and then you walk into church. What's wrong with you? Don't be like that. Honor the meeting. You say it doesn't matter. It matters. Anything you honor, You wear well, you dress well to come. True or false? That's why you see Zoe is coming. I know the kind of clothes some of you wear to come for Zoe. Some of you are saving the clothes ahead of time. Why? Because somehow, Zoe. You know that kind of thing, Zoe. This is Zoe. Uh-huh. So you're going to prepare. Some even sew clothes for it. Hallelujah. So you dress well to service. Like I said, there are no indecent dressings per se. Okay, that's what you require. There are no indecent clothes. It just depends on where you're wearing them to. So what might be indecent? We're only saying there are clothes that are indecent for church. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please. For church. Bone short is not for church. You know, I'm not a religious person. I don't preach. No, but sometimes, the one that the church dismissed service and I was going and I, my God. If you see people coming out from the church, somewhere on this kind of demonic gowns that ladies wear, things that should be shirts, it should be blouse, so you now wear skirts. They wear it as gown. And wear heel. And no. And the girl was, I saw them, they were coming out from church. I'm not blaming the pastor. I'm not blaming the church. I'm blaming the girls. And they were standing. I was not imagining when they sit. And the pastor was just be throwing his eyes up and down. Ushers, listen. Are you listening, ushers? There are people you don't keep in front. I'm telling you plainly. There are people, take note of it, there are people you don't keep in front. What did I say? Some should be at the back. You get the point? it's not even anything. There are people that should not. Some this is an embarrassment. Imagine they now snap picture. And so we dress terribly and sit terribly too in church. It's a very improper way to behave in church. You don't like me tonight. I know. I don't even like myself. I'm just telling you what you should do. What you should know. You see, there are people you don't keep in front. Pastors should be trained. There are things people will wear. You know, even if a guy comes, maybe a new person comes on rag jean up and down, don't keep him in front too. Don't keep him in front. Biko. You know? Serious. Don't do it. Hallelujah. Because that's the next one. Part of next one I'm gonna make. Okay. Yeah, that's the next 2 points I'm gonna make. Power, not power now. Energy in a service flows from the front to the back. That's why, as ushers, you should know who you. That's why sometimes, as in church, you say pastors should be in front, because however they respond to the message, I'll come to that. That's what I will close. Is how every other person will respond. It's always flow like this. You know what I'm saying? So that people don't keep in front. Anything you keep in front is like we are modeling it. So we have people that are keep people that are naked in front. We are modeling nudity. So while I understand that people can be naked and come to church, we will not pursue them. You get the point? But I'm talking to you, the pastor, the leaders, the workers. There is a way you don't dress. Hallelujah. We are not under the law, but we are not stupid. Any freedom without control is bondage in disguise. You get the point? So we are not men without control. Then I'll say, second to the last thing, please behave well in church. Let me just, there are many things I want to say, but I'll just summarize it under this and say, I said now, if I say, make the last point. Behave well in church, please. What that means is, in church, no phone calls. You get the point? Silent. Because, put your phone on silent. Put it off. But if there is one important call that you must take, they want to call you from Dubai, put it on silent. At least, I learned this when I was in school. Some of you should know, when you're entering someone's office to see, put your phone on silent, hope you know. Some people, once your phone rings in their presence, it's over. Get out of this place, you don't have respect, and that's it. Put your phone on silent. Amen? Don't be taking calls. Just in church, while in church. Hello. I did church. They'll call about, what is wrong with you? Why are you like this? Get the point? Proper behavior. Some people, they have a problem with their buttocks. They can never sit at a place. 3-4 hours in service, the person has stopped to go and eat himself 5 times. What's wrong with you? You have a bladder problem. And sometimes it's just that same person will sit down on top of Game of Thrones. I get the point. Season 1, 2, 3, it's a terrible behavior. But once he comes to church, and I say, you know, stand up. God, see, it's the wrong way to behave. Don't be that. Don't be like that. Behave well in church. Don't be in church and you're having side talks. You know, there was a day I called two people here. Right here. After service, I met them. I said, why were you guys laughing at me? And that was very intentional. I knew they were all laughing at me. But I was talking and they were gisting and they were laughing. They gisted and they laughed. So I said, you guys are laughing at me. They said, sir, no, we're not laughing at you. I said, no, you are laughing at me. They said, sir, no, how can we even laugh at you? And how can you say, I say, you people are laughing at me. All I'm saying is, if I am preaching and both of you are laughing, and I did not say anything funny, I must be the object of the laughter. You are laughing at me. It's an improper baby joke. You cannot be just that you are talking and you are laughing and you are cracking joke. You just come on your phone and say, see. What are we doing? How will you not be like that? Behave well in the church. That's the way to behave. What I'm saying is, I said this in January. Some of our meetings are growing. Some of our meetings are quite small. You can make outsiders dishonor that meeting to the last. You get the point? And you can make them honor those meetings to the last. Based on how you act, based on how you dress to the meeting, based on how you behave while you are in the meeting, there must be proper honor and conduct in church. Then let me say this last thing about proper behavior in church. Please respond to the word well while in church. That's one way to honor the meeting. That's the last I'm going to say on proper behavior in church. Have you been blessed? Respond to the word well. Respond to the word well. You notice the way leaders respond to the word, or workers respond to the word, is the way the whole church will. I've told them in Enugu, there's a terrible culture that most of our centers have, most of us have, and it's something that must change. If I now say, you see, tomorrow you are going to be blessed, the amen you get will be amen. And it's a terrible way to respond to the word. And it's going to spread all over. And people, and you notice, it's not about shouting amen. It's not about shouting amen. Sometimes what we do is a reflection of how you believe what was said. So how do I respond to the word? I'll just show you like 2-3 scriptures. 4 actually. 1 Peter 2 verse 2. How do I respond to the word? As newborn babes, what do you do? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. So what is the first response I give to the word? Desire. You must have a yearning for God's word. How many of us love the word of God here? I don't know about you, but I love to hear God's word. And so there must be that desire. You know, you look at the illustration you use there, as what? Newborn babes. Have you seen children desiring for breast milk? They cry for it. And that's how you must desire the word. Be passionate. So when the word is, and that's why if you desire the word, you will not sleep off on the word of God. You get the point? Not because I didn't say you will not feel sleepy. I say you will not sleep off. You get the point? It's something you desire. I love the word of God. I desire it. I'm crazy about it. I want to get it. And with my notes and with whatever, I'm thirsty for it. That's why when the word is coming, I'm not answering calls. I'm not taking calls. I'm sitting down. I'm desiring the word. Hallelujah. Praise God. You desire. Look at James 1 verse 21. James 1 verse 21. Therefore, I like this. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. So receive with meekness. With meekness. So we'll put up NLT. Let's look at it. Put up NLT. And I will check Amplify later. Get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. And humbly. So you know that He said meekness. This one is saying humbly. So there must be a state of heart that depicts meekness, humility towards the world. Hallelujah. Because sometimes the world can be tough. It can correct you. You get the point? That makes you. They put up amplified. He said, get rid of all failed and evil in your lives. Put up amplified. He said, get rid of all uncleanness and rampant outgrowth of wickedness. In a humble, gentle, modest spirit, receive and welcome the word. I get the point. There must be humility towards the word with meekness. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You are not bigger than the word of God. Then 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. You are not bigger than the word. You receive it with meekness and humility. Whatever it says, you take it. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 6. Get to King James. He said, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with what? Joy of the Holy Ghost. So one way to respond to the word should be with joy. So that's why I talked about that issue of if the pastor is preaching and say, this week, this is going to happen, you receive it with joy. And I told you, you don't say, I have joy. You act joy. Is that correct? You show joy. Joy is action. You demonstrate it. So if I pray for you, or not even pray, I'm preaching, and I say, oh, glory to God. We are righteous in Christ. You should respond to that with joy. And it should be a culture in all our churches. It's a proper way, church. And that's why I said, sometimes, I told them, church, very soon I'll be changing. Some people brought and say, hey, you come here. Because sometimes energy will flow this way. Respond to the word joy. Hallelujah. With joy. Don't be in church and you are deaf and dumb by the same time. Whereas if your club is playing ball, you are shouting on top of your voice. Ah, yeah, yeah. But then, when it's football, when it's church, you're just quiet. Oh, you are blessed. God bless you. What's wrong with you? Talk. This is church. Amen. She is our house. So be talking. Just say the right things at the right time. And some people, you will not hear their voice in service. After service. I don't, that's sometimes it's just, some things are just demonic. Let me prove it to you. Some of you are feeling sleepy, right? When I'm done with this retreat, some will not still sleep. Some will start watching film and start gisting till morning. Is it not demonic now? Can't you see that? This is not of God. It's just a demon following you up and down. It's those people that said they will not make it from a village. They followed it to Enugu. Don't mind me. Before somebody listening to this from outside and say, I said it. Oh, glory. So how do I receive the word? With joy. Hallelujah. Say, I have joy. So you respond with joy. So when the word is coming with and you respond with joy. He said, look at this. They received that word in much of it. There was affliction. But then they still receive the word with joy. So when you hear the word, you respond with joy. You see, I know you are in affliction. Don't carry it into the church. When you come to church, respond to the word with joy. I know you don't have money. I understand. I know things are not really proper. But let one reason you come to church be that when I come to church, I will express joy and I will go back joyful. Hallelujah. So when the pastor is preaching and we say, it's a new week for you. Respond. You know, sometimes how you shout and receive the word sometimes will show that you believe it. It doesn't just believe it. It will even raise faith in other new persons that are in church. You get the point? Imagine your pastor is preaching now and says, this week, somebody here will get a new car. And you guys go agog. You guys go mad. Now, the new persons in church, there are two things that are in their mind. If I say this man walk, they walk. You get the point? Is there that this one that just said they've not seen the car, why are they rejoicing? So it's like this guy's word, like it works. He's already raising faith in him. When he say, this week someone will get a new car, people now say, amen, you know. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that stretches faith in your heart. And so you receive the word of God with joy. The last scripture for now is 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. The same as Luke chapter 2 and verse 13. I like this place.
because it's still connected to what I just said now. For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing. Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He said they received the word like the word of God. This I normally end, when I'm talking about responding to the word, I normally end with this scripture. Receive the word like God's word. Just that example I gave about car. You never say this to somebody who's buying a car. You just say, hey, amen. But then imagine Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. I mean Jesus, appear in his glory. 17 angels around him. I'm not talking about spiritually. He comes physically and says, this week, somebody in this church will get a car. You see, why it's going to make more sense to you is because this is God talking. That's how you must receive the word of God. When we bring the word to you, you must receive it as the very word of God. Are you listening to me? When we say you're righteous in Christ, you must receive it like God himself. You know, when you receive the word like this, even if you've made a mistake and pastor just says you're righteous in Christ, say, that's it. Hallelujah. Receive it as the word of God. You know, this is one thing that some people in some churches that would not see as word churches, that they have, and they have plenty miracles, that are very receptive at everything pastor said is like God is talking. And they have all those crazy miracles. And then you'll be there doing exegesis on the miracle, saying it cannot happen, it cannot happen. Can it even happen this way? What if this, you know, they are abusing, explaining the miracle. You just believe it. I get the point. Just believe it. You know, I've seen some guys that believe some crazy stuff. You know, we've explained that, you know, when money appears in your account, it has to be somebody that sent it. You get the point. But there are some churches that believe that, see, angels send money to them. Now, we know angels will not go and put money there. But God can promise people's hearts to send money, whether unknown to you, unknown to you. I've received money I don't know who sent to me today. I don't get the point. But these churches, they believe that angels put money there. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It's wrong, so we have the truth. You get the point? But it doesn't matter. The fact that pastor said, this week, angels will send you money. They believe it. That week, I just send the money. You know, the point is, their heart has been shed to be in, this is God's word. I get the point. Are we going to see miracles? But because some of us, we think we are wise, when they speak, they are doing exactly the word, is it correct? And if you're a pastor, if you're only a pastor, that you have to check every of you before you believe it, you better leave that church. Let's go. Hallelujah. When we speak God's word, Bible said, when I spoke God's word, you received it not as man's word. You took it as it is. God has spoken. God has spoken. Hallelujah. And not just about declarations, generally. So that even if I was doing something, and in pastor's teaching today, he explains that that thing should not be done. What do? I stop it. Why? You receive it as the very word of God. God spoke. I've got a point. God spoke. He said, I should stop this. If you are thinking, how am I sure I will not stop this? Why should I stop it? Think of Jesus in his glory appearing and saying, my daughter, stop wearing that clothes. Some of you never touch the clothes again. He appeared and said, God himself. Well, that's what happens here every Sunday and every Wednesday, every Thursday. Hallelujah. He said, when they heard the word, they listened as God's very word. Receive the word. That's how to behave in church. So when I'm in church, I want to receive everything that is coming as the very word of God that has the capacity to change us, that has the capacity to save us. So when I hear it, I believe, I take it in hook, line, and sink. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed? Let me take our questions. Let me take our questions. You have a question? Yes. So, yes, you take the mic. Then, if you have a question, just let me see why he's asking soon.
Papa, my question.
Just stop. Nah, it's not you.
My question is concerning that corrections. You've said something about responding to the corrections, that's hitting what you did. But then, is it proper, like after the corrections, you know, some people are emotional, like saying sorry and all those stuff. Is it
you that was corrected saying sorry? It's proper. You see, when someone corrects, you say sorry if you did something wrong to hurt the person. It's proper. Amen. It's proper. It's proper. You know, you don't need to say sorry to God for him to forgive you. But you know, we are men. You get the point? It's proper to say. If I say sorry, it's one way to... You notice everything that Paul explained that happened to them in that verse. Your eagerness, your this. All of them happened after a period of time. Paul now noticed all those things. But sorry is one immediate way to show the person I've received what you said. I can't finish correcting you and shouting at you and all that, and you just turn your back and start going. You might have taken it, but then as far as I'm concerned, that girl was... You know that? It looks rude, right? She's rude. So, you can say sorry. It's necessary. Any other question? Another one? You know, if you ask it, take me... I'll just give this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let me say this to you. We're going to pray soon. The reason I took time to explain this to you tonight is that God wants us to bring order into our church. That order has to start from leadership. And one sign of order is leadership. I hope you know that, right? Leadership. I said it before. Anything that has two heads is a monster. Imagine something that has three heads. We're in the choir. Everybody is leading in the choir. Everybody is saying, my own must stand. You see, that's a monstrous group. You get the point? Must be leadership. Must be leadership. That same thing. There must be leadership. There must be honor and recognition of the leadership. It must be done. If you are here now and appoint somebody a leader over you, respect that office. It is learn. You will grow. You know the way church is. Finally, the person sitting next to you is not just talk. Might be your pastor tomorrow. How many of you know that? It has happened here over and over again. You just have somebody, you just notice one pastor will just come up one retreat like that and say, this person is not a pastor, and certainly is a pastor. Respect that. Those things are not just things we did by just thinking. Those things are leadings of God. Whether you believe it was done out of partiality or favoritism, important thing, the Bible said God has set them in church. Like that. Let's bring in order. A broken system will never hold water. And that's why people will keep coming in and they will keep leaving. But when there is a strong order to absorb what we are doing, people can stay. The growth that we are praying for and we've reached out for, they will come and we can sustain them. Because there is a strong order. Hallelujah. There is order. Praise God. Let's be on our feet. Let's give God praise.
Alpha and Omega.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.